your Bibles, I want you to turn with you to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Paul was a man that understood something a lot of people have forgotten. You got to live in this world, even though you're not of this world. Man, I get so upset with these TV preachers make you think the only reason why God saved you is so he could bless you. And we got people believe that. They walk around, how are you? I'm being blessed. You know, and you sitting there in a hole trying to figure out why you in a hole when you know they ain't even living right, but they being blessed. Come on, church, smile it. Just because people go to church don't mean they're right. And if you ain't reading your Bible and praying, you're the reason you keep having problems. Because if you do all you know how to do, you're still going to have problems. But you invite them when you try to live without being armed. I mean, let's face it. If you're a soldier and you're in the middle of a war, you don't go out to fight without having armor on, do you? You don't go out to fight without bullets in your gun. But yet we got folks trying to fight a war, a spiritual war. And they got this idea that all they got to do is just go up and say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And the demons are laughing at you because you got nothing to rebuke with. If you're not praying and reading your Bible, your gun's empty and you're shooting them with blanks. But if you get loaded, then greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Could you say amen? Amen. Paul understood life stinks. I wish it didn't. Paul understood that the end of that light at the end of the tunnel is probably a freight train headed your way. Smile. He understood that if your kids drop a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on the carpet, the chances are very good it's going to be in the living room, not the back room. Smile. Some of y'all are going, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. Truth of the matter is, Paul understood life happens. No matter who you are, where you get to, your TV preachers are lying to you if they tell you you get saved, you're never going to have a problem, trouble, or trial. Read your Bible. Those men we believe were saints of God went through all kinds of stuff. And we're sitting around talking about, well, I'm not going through nothing. Well, you ain't never going to learn anything, and you're never going to develop Christian character. Because character doesn't come from shouting on the mountaintop. Character comes when you're walking through the valley and you're going through the trials and the tribulations and all the problems are happening in your life and you're trying to figure out what's going to happen next, what possibly could go wrong next. Character is when you find out how to live right when everything ain't going good. Anybody can shout, but only people with character make it through the fire. Go through the flood. Come out on the other side with victory. Could you say amen? Paul, writing the church at Philippi, and notice he wrote this letter. He ain't dancing a jig on the side of a boat while they're singing. He's in a maritime prison. He's buried in the ground. And buried in the ground, listen to him sharp a guillotine outside. He translates the New Testament to a guy outside who's writing it. If you ever want to have fun, ask somebody who wrote the book of Romans. They'll argue with you, and they'll say Paul wrote it. But the Bible didn't say that. The book of Romans, 22nd chapter, it said, 16th chapter, 22nd verse, ain't 22 chapters in it. 16th chapter, 22nd verse, I, Tertullius, who wrote this epistle. Who's Tertullius? He was a slave writing it down. Paul gave it to him, but he was a scribe. But I didn't ask who was the author. I said, who wrote it? You can have some fun with people. They'll argue with you. They'll want to slap you. You know, Christian love. But listen to what Paul tells the church at Philippi. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would touch this house. Use me as an oracle of your grace, for it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look at him, said, hey, what am I going to do when I'm where I am? That's the title of the message. What will I do while I'm where I am? In other words, God, what's next? Could it get any better? Glory. Hello? Paul looks up and he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. That word apprehend simply comes around by saying this. It literally means to seize from, to seize, to become aware of, to have perceived, to grasp in understanding. Paul said, I've wrote most of the New Testament while I'm laying here in this prison and I still ain't figured it out yet. So all you that think you got it figured out, rethink what you're thinking. Because we got folks in the church, you'll touch, oh yeah, I know. Well, you don't know, because Paul, after all this time being a theologian of all theologians, still said, guys, I've gone all this time and I still ain't figured it out. I still don't know how to handle it. I'm still trying to build character. I'm still trying to make it. I'm still finding out new stuff every day about the God that I fell in love with on the road to Damascus. Amen. And church, we got to realize today that we have not comprehended yet. We have not apprehended. We're in the midst of it. We may not know why we are. There's an old song in the Redback Hymnal said, hey, I'm going to understand it better by and by. I don't know why I got to go through what I got to go through. I don't know why I have to have the problems I have. But there's coming a day down the road when God's going to take me into his kingdom and say, well done, my good and my faithful servant. And I'm going to have the glory of only apprehending and seizing what God's been trying to tell me. What that basically amounts to is ain't none of us graduated yet. If you're here, you're still in school. Man, I used to go to church and they'd jump up. Y'all know the old-fashioned camp, old-fashioned church services where we'd have the testimonies. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to hell. And I'd be back there going, wow. That's a doctorate degree if there ever was one. I'm still over here working on my associate's degree. I've told this, but I never forget one old lady. She jumped up and she said, They get up and say, I'm saved, sanctified, filled, Holy Ghost, on my way to heaven. I ain't got them desires I used to have. Because that used to be a big thing, the Church of God. You know, she didn't have them desires. I had a problem. I'm still alive. Hello? Yeah, some of y'all look down your nose, but you'll bring it back up because you're still alive too and you still have some desires. You still do some things. Every once in a while you look in the mirror going, oh, did I do that? Hey, y'all remember Urkel? Did I do that? Glory. You could be him. I got to find somebody to pick on. He's up here. Glory. But the truth of the matter is, he'd do something stupid and then go, did I do that? We got folks in the church that do it. They'll look in the mirror. Did I do? But you ain't about to let nobody else know. There's people in this church right now that everything ain't going good, but you ain't about to tell nobody because you're afraid somebody will find out your armor's changed. And the first time somebody thinks something going wrong, they got to figure out the same thing Job's buddies did. Everything happened to Job. What'd you do, Job? I mean, my Lord, you've done something. God wouldn't be doing this if you hadn't done something. Job hadn't done a thing. But we got people in the church, the minute something goes wrong in your life, well, I wonder what he did. Wonder what she did. It might be they ain't done nothing. They just getting a little lesson. They in another class, one you already been through and forgot about, and they're not taking that class so they can get them an education on how to act when they're in a fire, how to act when there's a flood going on, how to walk on water in the midst of a storm, and they ain't passed the test yet. Come on, church. Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't figured it out yet, Paul said. Now, church, if Paul hadn't figured it out, most of us ain't either. Hello? I'm still working on it. I've been 42 years in the ministry and I still ain't figured it out yet. Glory. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Because they still, we got to work. And I'll be honest with you, I had one old lady answer my question. I'm back there, I still got desires. And some of y'all honest, you have to fight them desires. They asked Oliver Wendell Holmes one time, said, how old are you when you forget women? He said, I don't know. I'm not but 96. I know some of y'all said, well, that's stupid. Really? Will you tell me why when somebody dies, a lot of times that person will remarry because they want somebody. Because it's natural for you to want somebody. Hello? It's a desire, and we work on it. I don't know about y'all, but some of us desire food more than others. And a guy count me one time got on to me because I said I fasted 3 days. He said, you ain't fasted 3 days, just getting started. He looked like a toothpick with a head stuck on it. I said, dude, I missed more food 3 days than you will a week. How come I got amens on that and I didn't some of this other stuff I've been saying? Glory. But the truth of the matter is, it's not how long you fast, it's the dedication you put into it. But we got people, I remember this guy walked up to me and said, yeah, I've been on a 40-day fast. God's finna have to do something for me. I said, you just blew the whole thing by bragging about it. He got mad at me. But you're not supposed to run up and down the road bragging about what you're doing for God. Come on, my Bible said, look at those guys over there. They fast for a long time, then get out in public so everybody will see it so they know they've been fasting. You know what God called them? Hypocrites. Amen. But church, we got to get to that place where we understand as long as we're human, we all got to fight the human source. Paul said, I have to crucify Saul daily so I can be Paul the apostle. Because Saul kept coming back alive. And he said, I got to fight with him. I don't know about y'all, but the biggest war I got in this world is with me. And the biggest war you got in this world is with you. And if we don't understand it, we don't understand what Paul's trying to say. He said, hey, I've been at it all this time, been through everything I've been through, and I still hadn't caught the answer. But I'm working on it, and I'm getting closer, and my character's getting good. Amen. And church, let me tell you something. He finally figured something out, because in the next letter, one of the next letters, he said, hey, I've run the race. I've kept the faith. And now there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, but not only me, but all those that make it in. Could you say amen to that, church? What are you talking about? Right before they took him out in the hole, he started comprehending, hey, I've done it. I kept the faith. I've run the race. Now I'm headed to my heavenly home, and I'm going to make it on the other side. Could you say amen? Listen. He said, I am going to forget those things which are behind and reach forth to those things which are before. The word reach simply means to stretch toward, to extend, to thrust, to strain for something. It's a verb. It requires action. You ever notice a lot of stuff God says we're supposed to do requires action? I don't understand why we got so many people talking about, I serve God. But there ain't no action. Hello? Anytime I've ever seen energy, it moves. Oh, that's good preaching, Street. I'm going to run there and amen myself in a minute. There are some folks in churches, you got to tap them every once in a while to be sure they're alive. They... I'm not even going there. There was a gentleman at Alabama City Church of God, which is now called Cathedral of Praise, years ago. He led the singing. He was one of the big singing families up there. And he'd lead the singing, send singers over with. He'd go down, sit on the front row, and go sound asleep. Snore some Sundays. Brother A.L. Burroughs was the pastor. He got there one Sunday, and that guy went over and sat down like normal and got settled in, went to sleep. And I know the story. My granddad was sitting right next to him. And he said, Brother Burroughs was preaching. Said he leaned over and said, he said, I moved over a little bit, said, took a rib back him, said, boom, it popped the guy right in the head. He said, if I got to listen to you sing, you're going to sit up and listen to me preach. Glory. Hello? Just in case, I'll keep this handy. Listen. He said, I'm going to reach for those things in front. He said, I ain't got there yet, but I'm headed toward them. I'm trying to get there. Church, I don't know whether y'all understand it or not, but until I cross the golden threshold, I ain't got it made. I can't put it in cruise control and hope I get there. I've got to press. I've got to move on. I've got to get there the only way I know how. And that means I got to work for God and push to get there. And we got too many people in the church that got saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, put it in cruise control, and they're gliding, hoping they make it, but it ain't going to happen that way. You have got to do it. The Bible said from the beginning of time, the kingdom of God has suffered violence. And what happened? The violent take it by force. I'm not getting there by accident. I'm going to fight my way all the way to the end. But when I get to that gate, I'm going to hear them say, well done, my good and faithful servant, when I cross over that border, and I'm going to build character in Christ. Could you say amen? And church, I understand. You know, we got folks in the church, they never have a problem. They're financially well off. They're emotionally stable. Everything's going good for them. just aggravates me. They just jump from mountain to mountain. And they're always looking at the rest of us, the struggling through the valleys, trying to figure out why we can't keep up with them. I don't know what I just did, but if I hit you, I'm sorry. But some of y'all need to realize you've been dropping in some valleys, you just ain't admitting it. Because everybody does. Hello? But you got these people every time you see them. And one guy come to my house one day and said, "Hey, look, I'm blessed." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yes, how's it going?" "It's going great." Follow me around the house and said, "Man, I need to borrow some money." I said, "No, man, you're blessed. It's going great. You don't need nothing I got. I'm broke." Smile. Dude come up to me one day and said, "Preacher, I got to have some help. I ain't got nothing." I said, "You don't have nothing?" He said, "No." I said, "You got a job?" He said, "No, I don't have a job. I ain't got no money. I got nothing. I got some help." I said, "Look, dude, do you owe anybody?" He said, "No, thank God." I said, "Well, good. Help me. I'm $300,000 in debt. I need some help." Come on. Somebody else said, "Preacher, you ain't got no compassion." I do, for people who need help. I need help. Hello. Come on, church. Y'all know me. It's not like I'm preaching people don't know me. You know I'll take my shirt off and give it to somebody if I think they need it and they deserve it. But every week I got people walking through this door. "I need help with this. I need help with this. I need help with this." And if we did that, we'd be broke around this place because everybody and their brother shows up. Had a guy stop me out there one day, I was cutting grass. Had on a shirt, said, "Pastor." He said, "You the pastor?" I said, "No, I bought this at the thrift store." I don't know where it come from. My wife bought it, but he turned around and he said, "Well, I need to see the pastor." I said, "What do you want him for?" He said, "Well, I've got a power bill and a water bill got to be paid. They done turned my water off, fixed turn my lights off. I need some help." I said, "Do you work?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, sir, we don't help people financially. I can give you some food. That's the best I can do." Do you know he became non-religious real quick like? He started calling me all kind of stuff. I mean, I thought I was bad, but he was making up words. I don't know if I ever heard him before. And I'm standing there, and he's going, and it's been several years back. I still had that flip phone. I flipped the phone out of my pocket, and I started doing it. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm fixing to help you out, dude." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "They got electricity where you fixing to go. They give you 3 meals a day and an ice roof over your head. You ain't got nothing to worry about." He got in the car and took off before I could get his help for him. But there's those of us in this place that every time you look up, something's going wrong. And we're having to try to figure it out. And that's the people I want to talk to this morning. Those who seem to every time find themselves upside down, trying to figure out how a good person can end upside down. Well, every once in a while, it is because God's trying to build some character in you to make you a better person and to show you how to make it through troubles and trials, how to walk in the dark and find the light. And some of us need to wake up and realize, Paul said, "I've been through it, but I'm trying to comprehend it, but I hadn't got there yet." And I'm telling you right now, we need to understand between what used to be and what's going to be, there's a place we can get in where we've got to reach forward and say, "God, help me out." Listen, he said, "Forgetting those things in the past." Church, have you ever realized some of the problems you got is you can't ever let go of something? We got people still fighting wars that's been fought 20 years ago and they ain't never got out of the head. They still mad if somebody calls grandpa and granddaddy. Get y'all worse than the Hatfields and McCoys fighting over a pig, shooting folks because somebody stole somebody's pig. Come on, church. Do you know that's really why that whole thing started? Several hundred people died over a stupid pig. Of course, once it got started, where'd you find a place to stop? We got people that like the old thing. Let's bury the hatchet, right? Right between your eyes, about the only place I want to bury it. Do you realize that kind of stuff will tear you up? Paul said, "I got to forget about what people have done to me." Man, let's face it, church, he preached a sermon one time, they stoned him for it. I ain't never preached that bad. He preached to the church. They stoned him to death. He He literally left his body, had an out-of-body experience. Hello? He went to heaven. If you think you're having a bad day, think about going to heaven and find out you ain't supposed to be there. He gets there. God comes by and says, what are you doing here? Well, they stoned me to death down in Lystra, and I'm trying to figure out. I'm here. My body's dead and spirit left. And to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. For those of you who think that don't happen, how did he have his conversation? And God said, well, I'm sorry, but it ain't your time yet. Go back. Now think about this. A body that's been stoned, bruised, hurting. He's in heaven, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more heartache. And he got to go back and pick that body up, knowing it's going to be a few weeks before it quits hurting. I'd have went back arguing. I'd probably been like Smith Wigglesworth's wife when she died and he prayed her back. She told him, she said, do you realize where you brought me from? How dare you bring me back when I was in that place over there? He said, when she died the second time, I just commended her home. Glory. Hello? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? All of a sudden, Paul's back in that body. He's got to live with it. But I noticed something. There was a little hinge in this word. God said, Paul, go back, get in your body. But you can't tell nobody what you saw. Now, I got to ask you something. How many of y'all go home, look in your library, got a book up there, died, went to heaven? This is what I saw. Who are them people? If the man that wrote 2/3 of your New Testament could tell you what he saw, who are these people you buying their books? Come on, I'm getting an amen on this, because we got folks spending money on junk and telling me, oh yeah, I've read all about heaven. My Bible said even if we describe it the best we can, we're only halfway going to get there. And most people not going to describe it, because I ain't never seen anybody said they died and went to heaven and it be true. Well, preacher, you don't know. I've been dead twice. I ain't seen a stinking thing. Woke up, found out I've been dead. Glory. Now, I was clinically dead, which meant that I was on life support. Twice. Once at DCH, once at UAB. I went to sleep one night, and they like not got me awake. That's why I'm on a CPAP every night, and I'm a firm believer in it, because when you wake up numb and some dude in there with a defibrillator and a lady with a big old long needle fixing to pop in your chest, it'll convince you to use their apparatus. The other time I had a kidney stone, and they gave me some morphine. Oh, that's good stuff. Kidney stone's the worst pain I ever had. Y'all know I've got a high pain tolerance. Kidney stone, the only thing I know, will totally incapacitate me. They gave me morphine. I was feeling good. But I was walking up down the hall holding my bag, and I went by the doctor. I said, Doc, look, I was here Sunday night. They gave me this. It worked okay. But I said, I'm still hurting. Could you give me some more? He said, I'll give you just a little more. But that's all you can have. You could end up in a coma. Three nurses got the cow. The first one come in, popped it in. The second come in, I helped them. Third one come in, I said, right here. Next thing I know, they got me in the trauma room, cutting my shirt off, putting this junk on me. And this was back when they didn't have the ventilators like they got now. They had one that was in a container, looked like an accordion. Y'all remember that? Any of y'all old enough remember them old? And I'm sitting there, and that guy looks at me and said, don't get excited, Mr. Stroop. You may stop breathing at any moment, but we're going to keep you alive till this wears off. He popped that thing on my face, that accordion, and I went, I remember watching that until I went out. Now, I woke up a few hours later, but I don't remember nothing for 3 days. When I come to, this lady was checking my blood pressure, and I'm like, hey. And it was Friday. That was Tuesday. I was gone. I ain't seen nothing. You say, well, that's just you. Paul said, I couldn't tell nobody. So I have a problem with anybody coming back telling me they saw something. And if you come to me after church and said you saw something, I'm going to tell you, I'm not real sure. I don't care who you are. If Paul couldn't tell me what he saw, I don't think God gave you permission to do it either. See, I got somebody mad in here already. Y'all looking at me. You got one of them books. Hey, it's a good fire starter. That's all it's good for. Well, I'm going to read about heaven. It's in the book. That's where you're going to read about heaven. That's where you're going to find out what God wants us to know about it. It's a place of no more sorrow, no more pain, no more heartaches. Amen. I have comprehended that there's a place better than what I'm living in on the other side, and that is my hope. That's why I'm living here. That's why I'm doing what I do. I'm not doing it because I got something down here. I'm doing it because I got a future in Jesus Christ. My hope is grounded in nothing less than Jesus Christ and his happiness, and I'm looking for that time when I'm going to spend eternity with him. Oh, preacher, that's wrong. No, it's not. You asked Abram what he was doing. He wouldn't have said, I'm going to live in the desert. He said, I'm looking for a city whose foundations, the builder and the maker thereof is God. Moses would have said the same thing. He said, what are you getting at? Once I got right with God, I set my face toward the heavens, and I've been pressing toward that mark. And every time something goes wrong in my life, I work my way through it, comprehend what God wants me to know, and I set my face back toward eternity with him, and I make up my mind. I'm not looking to the left. I'm not looking to the right. I'm headed toward an eternity in the presence of Almighty God. And whatever it takes, it's worth it. Glory. But some of us are not running around like the Shunammite woman saying, it's well with my soul. Some of us are quoting Psalms 43. Why art thou cast down, my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? But we say, my hope is in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance, and he is my God. Hallelujah. See, that's the only hope I got, that God's going to help me get through. God's going to help me make it to the other side. But notice what he said, I'm going to forget. We've got to forget what people have done to us. Hello? You ever realize you get mad at somebody because they done something to you? It don't ever bother them. They home. You at home. I can't believe I did it. All over Facebook. And they ain't even on Facebook. Y'all know how dumb it is to chew somebody on Facebook when they ain't on Facebook. Every once in a while somebody show me something somebody wrote about me on Facebook. And I'll go, that's good. That's why I ain't on there. Some of y'all look at me like, well, bless God. I said what I wanted to say. Well, it's still stupid to choose somebody out on Facebook. If they ain't on Facebook, they ain't never going to see it. Then we got folks writing stuff on Facebook mad because somebody else told it. If you put it in public form, it's going to get told. You don't want it told. Quit typing on the stupid computer. Call somebody like you're supposed to and talk to them in person. Then it don't get told. That was a sidebar. It didn't cost you nothing. But you holding grudges against people, they sleeping, you laying awake trying to figure out how to get them back. And they over there. Paul said, I'm going to forget about what people did to me. Those people stoned me when I preached a bad sermon. Those people did. But notice this. Paul also said, I'm going to forget about what I've done to others. What are you talking about? You ever read about his early life? Dude killed Christians because they were Christians. I mean, he's standing there holding the coats while they're stoning Stephen. Then he gets into business because he liked it. And he goes around stoning people for being Christians. Reading Galatians, he said, you remember my conversation in time past, how that I wasted the church? You know, I tried to kill every Christian I came in contact with. Where do you think he was headed when he ran into Christ? He was headed to kill some folks. He had writs in his hand to take them out. He's headed that way. And Paul probably had nights he was confused because he's trying to live right, trying to sell out to God. But he could hear crying babies where he's killed their mom and dad. He could hear kids wondering where mom and dad's going to be because he's killed them because they're Christians. And he's got to live with that. And he said, if I don't get that out of my mind, I'm never going to make it. Church, there's some things in your past you don't need to have. Hang on to. You need to get a hold of God. Say, God, help me get away from it. Let me put it down. Let me get rid of it. Because for my own sake, I don't need to hold on. Now, church, there's some things in your past you don't want to get rid of. Because you think about it, and man, it's awesome. This brings back joy. Come on, church. Now, I remember stuff when I was a kid. I'll never want to forget it. I don't care how bad it was. I mean, you know, we used to have firecracker fights. Every once in a while we'd throw a cherry bomb in just to get my brothers them stirred up. I was smaller than they was. We had the black cats that would almost take the end of your finger off. You couldn't hold them like you can today. They were bad. We'd be throwing them things at each other. If we couldn't hit them, one of them, we'd get a black walnut, leave marks on each other. Them things didn't give. My oldest two brothers was in the military home for Christmas, and we was in a firecracker fight in the backyard. My daddy had a Jeep with a cloth top. Somehow, that cherry bomb didn't clear the Jeep. And suddenly, there was a big old hole right in the middle of my daddy's Jeep. Do you know both my brothers got up and left the next morning, caught an early bus, and left town? Left me and my brother Freddie to deal with my daddy over that hole, but they sent him a note saying, "We'll send you money to help pay for it." Me and my brother paid for it. That day and then later. Y'all figure that out anytime y'all want to. But you know, even now I can think about that and I still get joy out of the fact that we were just brothers. We were just having fun. We just tore up something while we was doing it. And we fixed it. Glory. You know, I remember getting thrown through a screen door. Yeah, guy tried to sell my daddy insurance. We was playing out on the front porch and they got in an argument about something. And I don't know why. Man, I wasn't 5 or 6 years old. I got in the middle of it. Next thing I know, I went through the screen door. It was closed. I was on the outside, went in. That man's daughter works for Vitus Hospice now. I seen her one day. She said, "My daddy said, y'all are some mean boys." I never forget. He looked over my daddy and said, "Them ain't normal boys. You need to whoop him." Of course, I went through another screen. That was when my mama knocked me through it, but I was in the inside going out that time. Glory. That one's not a good memory. I got Dane Bramage from that one. Y'all figure that out in a minute. But you know, church, there are things in my past I like to remember. I like to remember Christmas in the past. Didn't have nothing, got one present, but it was awesome. Just to have Christmas, just to be at home, everybody there, nobody got to go to school. And, you know, we'd have a Christmas tree with some lights, a few lights on it, and popcorn strung around it that we'd eat, even though it was a week or two old when we finally ate it. Those are things you don't want to get rid of, but there are some things in my past, some things I went through I don't need anymore. I don't need to have it anymore. You say, "Preacher, that's good, but listen, my Bible tells me all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord are called according to his purpose, but the problem I got is there are some things I don't need them to keep working. I like to go ahead and get to the finished product." Smile. I said, "Preacher, it's 12 o'clock, I know. And what do we do when we get here?" I know I got tonight. I'm not preaching at all this morning. But we got to forget those things that people done to us. We got to forget what we did to others. We also got to forget the failures we've had. I don't know about y'all, but I've heard these people talk about, "Well, I passed every test I ever took." I didn't do that in high school, much less as a Christian. I remember junior high, I learned how to turn an F into an A. I was good at it until I realized it was easier to make the A than do that and get found out. Because when my daddy found out all them else was A's, he drew A's all over me. From the ninth grade to the 12th grade, I had one B plus on my grade card for a semester. Because I suddenly realized it was easier to make them A's than to make the L's and try to change them. Somebody said, "Well, why was your daddy whipping you for making bad grades?" Because he knew I was better than that. When my kids came up, I told them, "You make the best you can. If you don't make good, that's fine. But if you ain't doing the best you can, we got a problem." That's why my kids made A's and they got the pictures on the wall and stuff like that, because I knew they were capable of doing it. I know there's some kids that are not made for books. But you give them a tool, they'll tear a car apart. We got some people that they could do something, they just won't. Smile. But the reality is there's some things in my past I need to let go of and realize there are failures that I've had that I have to get rid of because they only hold me back. They're not going to take me forward. They're not going to keep me moving on in God. Paul said, hey, I failed God so many times it ain't funny, but you know what? I'm here for him. I'm living for him, and I'm here in this prison, but I'm not here because I did something wrong. I'm here because of the gospel, and because of that, God's going to take care of me. And suddenly he started comprehending, hey, I am here for the sake of the gospel. John figured it out. He said in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, he said, I was in Patmos for the gospel's sake. He said, I'm not here because I did something wrong. I'm here because God put me here. And somehow something's going to come out of it. And he called it the book of Revelation, because while he was on that island, he's chopping on a stone, making a book. Or writing on parchments, whichever he found. But can you imagine what would have happened if he hadn't went there and we wouldn't have had that book? Can you imagine what would have happened if he'd have died before he got there? We'd have never understood what faith in God could really do, because we'd have thought if you believe in God, you're going to die early, because everybody else that followed him died quick and died a martyr. This guy died of natural causes because he served God, and God said, I ain't going to let you die until it's your time. Glory. And that way we can hold on. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Sometimes you just got to let things go. Now we come to the tough part. If you don't let it go, you might as well forget praying. And I'm going to close with this. I'll come back tonight and finish this. What are you talking about, preacher? God will bless me. It doesn't matter what's going on. No. My Bible said if you got aught against your brother, bring your gift to the altar, go back to them and make it right. And then both of you come back up here and I'm going to bless both of you. You toting grudges? There ain't no need you praying about your finances. You toting grudges, ain't no need you believing God's going to help you with other things in your life, because until you get those grudges and those things out of your way, you'll never make it to this altar and pray and ask God to help you and him do anything. You say, preacher, you could have gone all day without saying that. I know it. There's a lot of people would like for me to. But some of you in this building need to take a long look across the aisle, find somebody you need to talk to, and go to them and say, late, we need to make some things right. This church needs to go somewhere, and we're part of what's holding it back, because we're busy wanting to have our way, and we're busy wanting to have our agenda, and we're busy wanting to get by. And it's time we made up our mind. It's not important anymore. All that's important is that we quit worrying about my part of what I'm doing and worry about the fact that we got a church that needs to move for God. There's a people around us going to die and go to hell if we don't do something about it, and we need to get in one mind, one accord in unity, headed in the same direction, and make up our mind we're going to turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. And if we'll do it, I got a God that will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings we cannot contain. They'll be pressed down, running over, shaken together. Won't you stand with me all over the house? What do we do while we're where we are? Stuck between what used to be and what can be. How many times has somebody walked through this door who knew nothing about this church since I've been here and told us what God had for us? And we keep getting there almost and falling back, almost and falling back. I think it's time we quit knocking on the door. I think it's time we open that door and go through it. I think it's time we let the world know we ain't here just to be a church. We're not going to just evolve anymore. We're fixing to take over. And we're going to move in the presence of God, and we're going to turn this whole town upside down in his glory. I believe you today to touch your people. Move on us, Father, with your love. Tear down walls today, God. Break down barriers, Lord. Help us open ourselves to you for your presence, for your power.